funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Some churches believe that Christians will be raptured before the coming of the Great Tribulation. Have you heard this teaching? Have you wondered if it was true? The Watchman's Cry is an interesting book by Obadiah Frank that uses the Bible and clearly explains that this teaching is not true. You can get The Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Barry Shamish, who is an Israeli patriot who's been trying for a long time to get the people of Israel to understand that the United States, the people who really run the United States, the invisible government, is out to destroy Israel. I mean, this is should be so obvious to anybody who's looking and seeing what's happening, and as we pressure Israel to give up land for peace, and so they give up land and they get more war and attacks, and suddenly they gave up the West Bank and they gave up Gaza, and they're in the process of giving up Judea and Samaria, and Israel has been shrunk down to a very, very tiny little nation along the coast of the Mediterranean. There are some places only 8 miles wide, and step by step by step, high government officials are putting pressure on Israel. Now, there are a lot of people out there who say, oh, the Zionists control Washington, D.C., and I say, look, the Zionists control Washington, D.C., they're doing a terrible job. Why are they doing everything to put Israel into a totally defensive position, to take away the land that they conquered fair and square in a series of wars that were not of their own making? Why is it that the Zionists are doing such a poor job? And the answer is because they really hate Israel. In fact, my fear is that they're setting Israel up for a war, whether it'll be chemical, biological, or nuclear, I don't know, but they're are over 50,000 missiles aimed at Israel today, and at any time something could trigger that off. And if there is a war in the Near East, America is going to be drawn into it. Don't think for one minute we're not, and America is not prepared militarily in any way other than perhaps with our Air Force and Navy, but certainly not with our own, with our Army, to deal with another war. And yet that would be maybe perhaps the straw that would break the back of our country and plunge us into financial Armageddon. Well, with that as the background, good morning, Barry Shamish. It's good to have you with us again.
Always my pleasure.
Tell us what we're going to talk about today.
Well, you know, we'll do an overview of the week. It was an interesting week. I want to correct you, 50,000 missiles. Hezbollah's got 40,000. I've said 80,000.
All right, well, all right. 80,000. I mean, 10,000 would wipe out Israel, but 80,000, well, he doesn't stand a chance.
Well, it depends what's in the warhead, of course. And Syria's got another 40,000, and they've got serious biological, chemical weapons that they can use against Israel. I watched Hillary Clinton. She's a very funny lady in a way. Really, you don't want to be married to Hillary Clinton. Got to give Bill a little credit for hanging in there. She said that if Iran bombs Tel Aviv with missiles, that the United States would obliterate the place. You know, with all the power of the United States Air Force, they can cause a lot of damage. they can turn parts of cities into rubble, but the Iranians won't be obliterated. That kind of power talk is just out of place. But the real government was in Israel this week, Condoleezza Rice, who really, really has a problem with Jews, and really is giving breaks to the Palestinians that caused Jews to die, she was in Israel before Bush arrives for the 60th anniversary celebration, and believe me, he's not coming to a party. He's coming to sign some sort of agreement in a hurry before the elections. Pressure is on Israel in the worst way. Now, we spoke about this last week, about the roadblocks and how Defense Minister Ehud Barak objected to removing roadblocks, especially at the Beit El Junction, which separates Ramallah from Beit El. I've been following this little story. Beit El does not have 3,000 people. It has 7,000 people plus an army base. And, well, there's no more roadblock between it and Ramallah, which is just walking distance. If you want to go to the store, pick up some goods, you go into Ramallah, it takes you, seriously, 10 minutes. 10 minutes to walk to Ramallah. The IDF objected vehemently to the lifting of this roadblock, and it did no good. The defense minister, Rice arrived and gave him instructions, lifted that roadblock. But he also lifted a couple more that are real serious. First of all, the Yatta roadblock outside Hebron is lifted. And, of course, the Shkamer Nablus roadblock is lifted. In other words, to please Rice, and who knows what she's got on the Israeli government that she can make orders like this, but it's got to be really, really serious stuff. Because Barak lifted the roadblocks, all three of the biggest cities in the West Bank, Ramallah, Nablus, and Hebron, now have open passages without soldiers checking a truck. From Nablus you can go to Jenin and pass by the terrorist villages. They're known as that, by the way, in Israel. On the way there, Hebron can get all the arms at once through the Yatta Junction now. This was all because Rice ordered Ehud Barak, our corrupt defense minister, and he listened. He actually listened. Now, that's just one thing that happened. They made Rice very, very happy, though, with a couple of actions that are outrageous. The first was the phone call received by Danny and Yitzhak Chalamish. They were arrested, believe it or not, for acting as soldiers. They worked with the IDF to keep their area in the eastern Gush Etzion free of terrorism. And a camp was set up by Bedouin outside a school. And Danny showed up and told them they have to go. They're not allowed to just squat outside a school. And, well, they approached 20 of them throwing rocks. And he called his brother over. And the two of them were under attack. They shot in the air. They shot in the ground just to get these people away from them, to distance them. They did not shoot to kill. An Arab judge sentenced them to 8 months each on the eve of... oops, I hear the music.
Well, you have to ask yourself, why do the leaders of Israel obey commands from the United States? Who's really running the United States? Who's running Israel? We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shamish.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. 205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Some churches believe that Christians will be raptured before the coming of the Great Tribulation. Have you heard this teaching? Have you wondered if it was true? The Watchman's Cry is an interesting book by Obadiah Frank that uses the Bible and clearly explains that this teaching is not true. You can get the Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Well, I stand back here at the American Freedom Network. I guess this morning, Barry Samish and Barry just talking about how the Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, had given orders when she went to Israel, and they pulled down all these roadblocks, which are the only thing that's keeping terrorists from crossing from Ramallah into the adjacent Jewish town there, or certainly this will give free rein to the suicide bombers to go into the Jewish communities and kill more Israelis. And certainly this is what happened when America forced Israel, of course, to pull out of Gaza, and that sort of gave Hamas a base so that now they could send their missiles into the southern part of Israel. What people really don't understand is that the United States is an imperialist nation. We control governments throughout the world. We control, and if we can't control them, then we send our troops in, as we did in Afghanistan and Iraq, simply to control those countries, and of course, and then install our puppets, and this is what we've done in Israel, and the leaders of Israel go right along. They don't want, certainly, to end up like Saddam Hussein did. And believe me, they're very, very susceptible. Olmert's a crook. In fact, there's even a question he may be arrested at any time. He's the prime minister of Israel. He's under police investigation for graft, as are so many of the leaders of Israel today. They've got something on every one of them. That's why they go along with the agenda. Pick the story up there, Barry.
Well, this arrest is an outrage because these soldiers were working for the IDF to keep a school safe from Arab squatters, and they were arrested, not the Arab squatters. And, this is what the message I've been sending, is that the, settlers, no matter what, the police are going to side with the Arabs. It's that simple. There's no justice from the, police or the courts. And, well, the Women in Green, the last surviving protest group, after the Khalilnishas were ordered to prison, they were witnesses to the next outrage, and that was a synagogue outside of Hebron was bulldozed by the IDF. Now, first of all, the IDF this week sent top officers to a conference of rabbis. They're tired of the youth, call it the right-wing youth or the religious youth. Many of them, but not all, are settler youth. Really hate the army. I mean, they hate the system. They will not even, when arrested, they won't even give their names because they hate the system that Israel is being governed by. And the officers met rabbis to change the minds of the youth, and the rabbis just told them outright, if you continue attacking us, you're not going to get any change. You've got to change your policies. Well, they didn't. The IDF came in with a bulldozer and knocked down a synagogue built in memoriam to two Jews, one a city council member killed by terrorism in 2001. But this was a unique synagogue because the Arab, it was on Arab land, and the clan that claimed this land, I don't know if it's legal or not, but it's their land, let's say historically. They don't want the Jews out of Hebron. And they said, build a synagogue and we'll protect it. And when Israeli leftists threatened to destroy it, they said, stay off our land. The Jews are welcome in Hebron. Well, the army didn't feel that way and destroyed the synagogue. Now, I got a note from the women in green with great anger about the destruction of the synagogue, and they took pictures of the soldiers, and they're going to, this is their protest, all right? They're going to put the pictures on the internet, and these soldiers will never be welcome into any synagogue anywhere. Nonsense. They can go to any synagogue they want to, and odds are very good they're not even religious and couldn't care less about this stupid threat. But that's how hopeless the situation is when protests in Israel is using internet sites to prevent the destroyers, the soldiers, from entering synagogues. It's just not reality. This is just not reality. The protests have been reduced to the non-real state. But there is a real state. And there are moves to get Olmert out of power. And apparently this week you have seen mighty serious moves. Now, first of all, Olmert's former finance minister, Avraham Hirshon, was indicted on very serious graft charges. He was taking millions of shekels from the National Workers Federation. And, I mean, he was finance minister. Who knows what he gave them back afterwards. But he took the money, and it was just straight-up bribes. And he was indicted this week. But the big one, now, again, I read yesterday how they got Olmert. Apparently, a 75-year-old businessman from Long Island has complained to the Israeli police that Olmert took massive bribes from him. We're not getting the full story quite yet, but all the rumors are that now there's a state witness and Olmert will have to leave power. These rumors are everywhere. But I'll tell you what makes me think this is real serious. They call Shula Zaken, Olmert's bureau manager, office manager. She is, in fact, his mistress. And that's known throughout Israel. She is under house arrest. And she was warned not to give one detail of this latest indictment. The police had already interrogated Olmert for an hour, and they immediately put his mistress, Shula Zaken, under house arrest. Rumors are everywhere that Olmert is going down and soon for his crookedness. But in Olmert's case, unlike previous prime ministers, this is financial crookedness. Nonetheless, if Olmert goes down, there are two options. One, no elections, and Tzipi Livni, the foreign minister, second in Kadima, takes over the government, which is no different. She's Condoleezza Rice's little puppy. Israel, if anything, will be worse off under her. The other option is elections, where the opposition leader, Netanyahu, could win, and he's controlled by the Council on Foreign Relations. It's a long story. I won't do it today. I've done it previously, In short, there's no way out, no matter how crooked these people are. But there is a dynamic going on in Israel, and it's not coming from the protesters. There are people with money and high up who want Olmert gone, and they got rid of his former finance minister on graft charges, and it looks like Olmert's on the way out for the same charges. If we have time, I'll talk about Olmert's other people who've gone to jail working with Olmert. But today I want to concentrate on a pretty important subject, a bit complicated, but, well, the subject is how did the PLO get back into Israel? The PLO were ousted from Lebanon in 1983. They weren't anywhere near Israel. They were in Tunis. How did they get back to Israel? And the information I'm about to impart in its time was, well, very well known because I had an article in the National Review, March 14, 1994. They called it Peres's Gambit. In fact, it's Yossi Beilin's secret meetings. This is how, this is how Israel was betrayed. Now, we previously spoke about the Shas Party, and in 1990, Peres brought down the government on a no-confidence motion because he had blackmailed Shas. Well, it didn't work, and Shamir was still in power, and he came up with a new plan in 1991, knowing that 92 would be an election year. Shimon Peres sent his deputy, Yossi Beilin, to Cairo on June 11th, 1991, with a letter ultimately for Yasser Arafat. It would be delivered to his underling, Saeed Kamal, by Yossi Beilin. There was a phony Labor Party, a delegation went to Cairo. Beilin was in the delegation, but he slipped away from it and met in the King's Hotel in Cairo. Beilin met with Saeed Kamal and today's PLO president, Mahmoud Abbas. And shortly I'll tell you how I know these facts. He gave a letter from Peres. Peres asked Arafat to gather all the Arab parties in Israel. They had held 17 seats out of 120 in the Knesset. He says, we want them to vote Labor in the 1992 elections because Labor would never, ever get in power depending on the Jewish vote ever again. Menachem Begin was too popular. Shamir was of that generation. They were going to lose the election. They said to Arafat, Beilin delivered the letter, said that if you go to the Arab councils and have them vote for Labor or ally the Rats Party, we will, one, promote an immediate settlement freeze in Judea and Samaria. Two, we'll change diplomatic policy to land for peace. Three, we'll cancel the law against meeting with the PLO.
And, of course, basically this was aimed at the Arabs living in Israel who do vote in the Israeli elections, and so Arafat was going to influence them to vote for the Labor Party so Peres could get in. Is that right?
Absolutely. This was the letter that Beilin gave Mahmoud Abbas, who was made president of the whole PLO enterprise, and Saeed Kamal. It was quite an offer. Peres was saying to the Arabs, to the PLO, was you'll determine Israeli policy. If you can get the Arabs to vote for us, we will give, we will lift the ban against meeting with the PLO, which is pretty significant. I mean, Beilin was meeting with the PLO, and he should have sat in prison for it. Other people did. And that was the meeting on June 11, 1992. But it gets more interesting because here's how we got the information. I got lucky. I got one heck of a source. In January 17th of 1992, James Baker arrived in Cairo. Baker, naturally of the Council on Foreign Relations, he was, I believe, Secretary of State under the first Bush administration. Well, the older Bush administration. He had a message to be given to Nabil Shaat. Again, a message for Arafat. The American government will immediately start a campaign to freeze settlements if you get labor and power, if you do what Paris offered. On January 19th, 1992, Balin was in town for the second meeting. There were four altogether, by the way. This time, he got unlucky. He walked into the lobby of the Ramses Hilton Hotel. It's on the Nile, near the museum. I know it actually personally, but nonetheless, he walked into a room, a conference room, immediately followed by Nabil Shaat and Israeli journalist Yeshua, I called him Shuki, he liked that nickname, Meiri, was in the lobby and watched this happen.
All right, fine, Chris. And the question is, what are these two people going in to a conference together for? We'll be back in just a moment with Harry Shamish.
Eyes, clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Stop living with pain. Discover MagnetiCare Cell Activating Liquid Complex and RX Magnets for a healthier life. Tom Martino and the Broncos know what works when you need to reduce swelling and inflammation, eliminate chronic pain, increase blood circulation, and aid in the healing process. Get your fast-acting MagnetiCare Liquid Complex, cream, or RX Magnets now. Call Bob at 303-388-1227. That's 303-388-1227. www.magneticare.net.
I'm Ann Johnson. For over 11 years, I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
How many of you battle the symptoms of failing health with toxic medications and inconvenient supplements? Do you feel like you've been fighting battles but losing the war? How about winning the war for a change? Introduce BioSuperfood in your diet and increase the metabolic activity of each cell in your body for greater repair, detoxification, and regeneration. Gain immediate energy, boost your immune system, and restore your health with extraordinary whole and organic nutrients in BioSuperfood. Win the war against disease. Call now, 877-288-9116.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network, and there's so many strange things that go on, and if you stop and analyze them, they just don't make sense. Barry earlier was talking about the PLO in Lebanon. Basically, the PLO had been attacking Israel and Israel and went into Lebanon and was ready to eliminate, and this was done during the Reagan years, was ready to eliminate the PLO, destroy their enemy and put an end to this constant source of irritation. And what happens? The Reagan administration demands that the Israeli army cease their action, a temporary ceasefire. The French come in, and I'm sure working closely with the Americans, take the PLO, defeated army over to Tunisia, retrain them, finance them, re-equip them, and then send back into Palestine to be a constant irritation. Nothing as it appears to be. We have consistently, under one guise or another, financed the Palestinian Liberation Organization and the Palestinian terrorists. At the same time, we're financing the Israelis. It doesn't make sense unless there's another agenda. Barry, you pick up the story.
Okay, now let's talk about Yehoshua Meiri, who became my source. He was the Arab Affairs correspondent of the Voice of Israel. He wrote for Ma'ariv. At the time, he was a secular Tel Aviv Jew. I'm going to go off track just briefly. He became very Orthodox, and he became the personal assistant to revered Orthodox Rabbi Kaduri, who died at 108. Now, Kaduri left a message before he died that the Messiah's name would be Yeshua, and Christians assumed he meant Jesus. He didn't. He meant Yehoshua Meiri, his personal assistant, and the whole thing was misconstrued. Now, remember, Messiah, in the Jewish religion, the Messiah is not the Son of God. The Messiah is a strong man who will bring the nation together. To assume that he would be the Son of God is pure blasphemy amongst the Jews. They're waiting for a leader. And Rabbi Kaduri said it would be Yeshua, and he meant Meiri. And when we met him, it was, again, my partner Joel Bainerman, we met a non-religious secular Tel Avivi, someone from Tel Aviv, and he provided us with tapes and Arab newspapers, which, of course, he had to translate. What it comes down to is he watched Balin go into a room with a bill shot. It was illegal. This was a big story for him. Balin, the little slime ball, 5'6", and just truly, truly scary to look at. In every respect, was meeting the second in command of the PLO, so he had a story, and he went looking for what was going on.
And because that was illegal for a high Jewish official to be meeting with the PLO, is that right?
Totally, you went to jail for it. This, afterwards, everything changed when they changed the law. They made it retrograde. In other words, Balin was not doing something illegal, which he was. Now, later on, the story of this meeting, what Balin said to Schatz, well, he brought another letter from Paris, of course. Balin was Paris's deputy. But he showed me Egyptian newspapers El Gomria and Al Wafit reporting basically what he reported. Balin offered Nabil Schatz, if they managed, the PLO managed to put together a meeting and get the Arabs of Israel to vote Labor, and here's a quote, they would receive an independent autonomous entity. In other words, what they got today. It's the closest thing to a state they could have offered. And by the way, they delivered. Paris said, if you rig our election, we'll reward you with a state. All right? The PLO were offered the right to rig the Israeli election. That's how much Paris wanted to get back in power. He didn't care how the Jews suffered, provided he won the election. And he sent Balin, well, to PLO with the states. Now, this was reported, Nabil Saad opened his mouth, told the Arab newspapers, Shuki Meiri, who spoke Arabic, he still speaks Arabic, used his sources, and by the way, he had very good sources. I assure you, we were very impressed with him. And later on, when we became friends, me and Shuki, and he put me on his radio show, just the top of the Israeli media were the other guests on his show. He found out that Peres had a new plan to win the election. He would get the Arabs to vote for him. And to get the Arabs to vote for him, he turned to the PLO and Yasser Arafat. But a very strange thing happened in this story that kind of mucked things up. In February of 92, Rabin ousted Peres as leader of the Labor Party. And this threw a giant monkey wrench into Peres' plan, because the Palestinians didn't like Rabin. He was the defense minister during their intifada, and he really, really does not like Arabs, Rabin. Besides which, personally, they did not. Arafat had opposition. There were lots of people in his party who would not back Rabin. So Arafat called a conference of the Israeli Arab political parties. There were three of them. And he tried to unite them together behind a pro-PLO party sitting in the Knesset. It didn't work. I mean, the Arabs are every bit as divided as the Jews. You can see it in action today when the West Bank PLO has nothing to do with the Gaza Hamas. They wouldn't agree to it. So Arafat, in the end, gave in, and he organized all the Arab councils. That's the kind of power he had. Now, remember, when an Arab, and for that matter, an Orthodox Jew, vote in the election, they're not voting individually. They're going the way their, in the case of the Arabs, the way their sheikhs tell them to vote. In the case of the Jews, the rabbis. Now, if you get all these Arab sheikhs in all these Arab towns, you're going to win the election. If they tell you to vote Labor, the Arabs will go and vote Labor. And that is precisely what happened. June 23rd, 1992, the election, Rabin is reelected because of the Arab vote. A majority of Jews, 60%, didn't vote Rabin. They voted Likud. It was only because there were 17 Arab seats. They reduced themselves to 4. In one election, 17 Arab Knesset members down to 4. The rest of the Arabs supported, Labor and its left-wing partner, Ratz. Arafat gave Peres the election. Arafat controlled who was going to run Israel. Arafat and Peres provided us with Oslo. They rigged the elections in the dirtiest way. He went to the murderer of thousands of Jews and asked him if he wouldn't mind supporting the Labor Party. And Arafat agreed. But Rabin wasn't playing ball. And once again, we turned to Shuki. We had another meeting with him. Ask anyone in the Israeli media who Yeshua Meiri is, and they will tell you. He was a man with great sources in the Arab world. And the next stage was to get Rabin to play ball with Peres. Peres wasn't prime minister, he was now foreign minister. On September 11th of 1992, Dennis Ross promises the restoration of American recognition of the PLO. when Israel changes its PLO law, America will recognize officially the PLO. It goes off the terror list onto the good guy list. Of course, he passed this message to the PLO ambassador in Cairo all the way to Arafat. The next day, September 12, 1992, Balin was back in Cairo all over again. And this time, Arafat was hopping mad because Rabin wasn't playing ball. And he had a threat for Balin and a butte. He gave him a letter to Shimon Peres saying if he doesn't live up to his bargain, after Arafat got the Arabs to vote Labor, which in their world is, you know, you have to have a good reason or it's just treason to vote in an Israeli election. After all this, if he didn't get at a minimum, what he was working for was to cancel the law against meeting the PLO. That was the minimum. But he wanted Peres' promise of the independent autonomous entity he wanted back into Israel. And he said if Peres doesn't live up to his promises, he would, number one, expose Peres and Balin. Publicly exposed the whole deal, which I'm sorry he didn't. I think that would have got rid of Peres once and for all. He would have stood trial for treason. He was cutting deals to rig the Israeli elections with Yasser Arafat. There's no way to describe what a filthy piece of treason that was in 1992. They had to do a little law changing. And then Arafat also said that he would quit the peace process and join the rejection front. This was Balin's third meeting. I think we can skip the fourth meeting, September 12th. And right after this meeting, Mubarak sent Omar Musa, his foreign minister, to Jerusalem to meet with Rabin. And what a threat he came this time. If Rabin doesn't cave in and meet with the PLO, he threatened to renege on the Camp David Agreement and rearm the Sinai Peninsula. And this also leaked out to what you would call the alternative Israeli press. It got out. The threat got out, but no one realized what the threat was. Now, here is the one where Rabin was turned around. September 17th. 1992, he met George Bush in Kennebunkport, Maine, and he told William Sapphire, this we got out of the New York Times, it was such a remarkable quote, he told William Sapphire that he was always opposed to Oslo, he was always opposed to negotiating with the PLO, George Bush ordered him to do it. The actual quote is, Bush ordered him to prepare the Israeli people, in quotes, for painful sacrifices. He ordered Rabin to start meeting with the PLO, and this was when there was kind of a division. This is when Oslo started. In November, we spoke with Ron Pundak. Yair Hirschfeld was the other Israeli academic. Met with Saeed Kamal in London, and the Oslo peace process began. On November 25th, right immediately after this meeting in Oslo, where the PLO finally get their peace talks on an equal footing, David Libayi, a colleague of Shimon Peres, he was justice minister at the time, introduces a parliamentary change in the PLO law from here on in and backwards. It is legal to meet with the PLO. Balin and Peres would now not go to prison for what they had done. In February of 1994, of 93, it became, no, it's 94. I'm sorry about this. I have a problem with dates. There's so many of them. The law was passed. It was now legal to meet with the PLO, which they were doing anyways in Oslo, and this whole agreement, the Oslo Accord, was conducted illegally from the beginning. It was all done, all of it, with the coordination of James Baker and Dennis Ross to get the Likuds of Menachem Begin and Shamir out of the picture and force a new reality on Israel, the reality of making peace with Yasser Arafat. And I got to tell you, because of this dirty process, well, Israel will die because of this dirty process.
Well,
now,
Barry, we're just about out of time. Before we run out of time, I do want you to tell our listeners how they can get your books, how they can get to your website, and how they can get your DVDs.
Well, my books, you go to www.lulu.com, L-U-L-U. There's a little box that says search. Write my name, C-H-A-M-I-S-H. That's Shamish. And look at the books. If you want to know the real diplomacy, look at the books. The website is BarryChamish.com. I have DVDs. The latest is called Take Back Israel, where I expose this and other horrible, horrible under-the-table deals. They're not on Lulu, so you can phone me at my cell number, which is 904-501-7605. That's 904-501-7605.
All right, fine. One more time with the telephone number.
904-501-7605.
Don't give it a couple of times. People never get it down. Anyway, our guest has been Barry Shamish, and we're really talking about the background of what happened. Of course, eventually, Rabin was actually murdered. He was murdered under the auspices of the Shabbat, which is sort of the counterpart of either the Secret Service or the FBI over there, and Perez was behind that. They got rid of somebody who did not really want to negotiate with the Israelis, with Arafat, and then, of course, why you changed the whole complexion of what's gone on in Israel ever since. But I think Barry has done a wonderful job of getting the Israeli people to understand that Rabin, the prime minister, was actually assassinated by people highly placed in the government. And this is a pattern really which goes on all the time throughout the world. People don't understand. We assassinate, certainly the people working in conjunction with our government, assassinate world leaders. We saw this recently in Pakistan, where Mrs. Bhutto was assassinated. This, unfortunately, is the fate of many world leaders who don't go along with America's foreign policy. Well, we've got just a couple of minutes for you to wrap up things. No, there's the music. We're out of time.
All right. I'll hear from you at midnight.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Bye, all.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and certainly people have to understand that nothing is as it appears to be. Today, the United States is funding Egypt that is preparing for war with Israel, and we're funding Israel. The United States is selling sophisticated, guided bombs to both Saudi Arabia and Syria, and one day those weapons will be used against our own troops. The United States today is doing everything they can to build communist China up, to build up their military and financial potential, the best enemy money could buy. We've done the same thing with Russia after the so-called phony fall of communism back in 1992, where the Americans went in with the World Bank, International Monetary Fund, Asian Development Bank, Export-Import Bank, to build up the financial potential of Russia so they could build up their military in preparation for the coming war. None of this makes sense unless, of course, you go back and you realize that from the very inception of communism, it was financed by the United States. How do we document that? Well, we have a pamphlet called the Communist Capitalist Alliance. It's based upon a speech that was given by Solzhenitsyn back in 1975 to the AFL-CIO, pointing out that the United States government and American corporations had financed communism in Russia since its inception. That pamphlet is available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, the Communist Capitalist Alliance. You need to see my interview with Professor Sutton. It's called The Best Enemies. Money Could Buy a DVD. Available and also available on in VHS, but basically, we did this before Professor Sutton died, pointing out how time and again we always finance our enemies so we can have a war. And then we have the book, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. We have Professor Sutton's book, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, showing how we financed Russia from its inception. Wall Street and the rise of Hitler, how we financed Adolf Hitler in preparation for the war. You, Chris, need to get my talk on Iraq, The Untold Story. That's Iraq, The Untold Story. And then to get the syllabus that goes with that, showing how time and again we have built up our enemies in preparation for a war. Because behind everything going on, there are powerful spiritual forces guiding America's foreign policy, taking us from war to war to war, and I fear that another war is in the offing, a much expanded war with the Muslim world. Everything points in that direction. In fact, if you haven't read my article, it's on Sybil Edmonds. You need to pull it down. It's our website, radioliberty.com. Just look for the Sybil Edmonds story under the newsletters, and of course you'll find out a secret spy ring operating at the highest level of our government with the full knowledge and support of our State Department, and the FBI knew about it, and were told not to investigate. And they were actually transferring nuclear technology and nuclear secrets to Pakistan so the Muslims would have a nuclear bomb. And I believe this is all in preparation for the war, coming war. We can't let the American people know. They've got to believe things are exactly as they say they are, as the controlled media tells you. Communists are the enemy. Boy, Islam is our enemy. The terrorists are our enemy. And yet every one of them has been financed by our own government, working in conjunction with British intelligence, MI6. And if you want to get into that, We have a three-pamphlet set called Foreknowledge 911. Three pamphlets. You need to read those to find out how we created the Islamic terrorist movement and then what really happened on 911. Another little pamphlet. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.